Somebody say my name. Oh, I thought I heard my name. But a few times in the past, I didn't get my mic on right, or I thought I heard my name. Maybe something was wrong along those lines. Well, praise the Lord. It's so good to be together this morning again. This time I brought my wife along. I remember at least the last time or two, I didn't have her along, and you all were asking about her, and it's a joy to have her along this time. So we always thoroughly enjoy coming out here. It's just a joy and a pleasure to see all you dear brothers and sisters in Christ. You're very dear to our hearts. I don't know how many years it goes back now when I came out here the first time, but told someone this weekend, I think it's probably about the 15th time or so we've been out here in the last, 8 years or so, maybe even more often. I'm not sure. I didn't keep track. So, amen. Well, thank you, Brother Amos, for that opening. God is certainly at work here in our midst this morning. I can assure you of that. God has a sobering message on my heart as well. And so, let's stand for prayer, and then we'll get into the message here. Father, we do worship you and thank you this morning. Thank you for being our eternal Father. We thank you that in these dark days that we live in, that underneath are the everlasting arms. Father, we worship you. We thank you, God, for your grace that is sufficient. Lord, even though we come up to the end, and Satan, if it were possible, would try to deceive the very elect, we thank you, Father, that your grace will carry us through, Lord. We look forward to that day when we shall see you face to face, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that that day is coming soon. And Lord, we pray that you would give us grace this morning as your word is expounded on, as you have laid a message on my heart. Give me grace, Father, to bring forth your word in a way, Father, that it hits the mark in all of our hearts. Father, that your word can produce fruit in our lives, growth in the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. And yes, Lord, that we can contend for that common faith, Lord. Oh God, in this day of falling away, the great falling away, Lord, is taking place. And so, Lord, we pray now that you would bless this part of the service. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, turn your Bibles to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Again, Brother Amos, it's such a blessing what you had to share this morning. It just is a appetizer or prerequisite to what I have to share. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Brother Steve asked me to share the other day. God just prompted me almost immediately. Well, I prayed. I told Brother Steve I'd get back with him. And in my prayer time, the Lord prompted me that, yes, he wanted me to share. And almost immediately this message came to my heart. Anyway, in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, let's read the first 12 verses. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither in spirit, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter as from us, as that day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he, as God, sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things. And now ye know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work, only he who now letteth will let, until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie, that they that they all might be damned who believed not the truth but had pleasure in unrighteousness. You know, we live in a dark day. We live in a day that is growing darker. You know, 10, 20 years ago, I don't know if we would have imagined some of the things we see today. With all the technology, all the world that is full of self through some of these, through the media and technology that we have at our fingertips today. And we see the whole gay movement beginning to rise up before us. And that movement, I'm telling you, is full of pride. That movement is full of pride. A proud, arrogant spirit is behind that whole movement. I mean, daily, it's almost in the newspapers. I mean, we get the newspaper back home, and it's just in there about, you know, this and that marriage that is, or how should I say, this, you know, this or that mayor maybe in the area that is endorsing this kind of relationship, or this or that Methodist preacher maybe who's also endorsing or has, you know, is engaged in marrying such a couple. So we're fast approaching a dark day. I believe we need to prepare ourselves. Recently, there was someone looked, one of my fellow ministers shared this with me. I didn't look it up myself, so please, this came second-handed. But he said he looked at some documentary of the military. And there's 10 threats that the military looks at. They had the 10 top listed threats. And one of those is terroristic activity in our nation. But one of the threats that they consider a threat is the fundamental Bible believing Christian. Those are one of the 10 top threats for the military and for, you know, that the government is taking a look at. Somebody in Lancaster County there, a dear brother in the Lord, shared recently that he had shared with a few other believers. They were sharing together, and well, let me say it this way: a few professing Christians shared with him that if the mark of the beast comes in, it's just a computer chip anyway. We'll take the mark, and. I couldn't fathom that for a Christian, a so-called Christian, to be able to say that. And so I have a burden on my heart this morning that we prepare ourselves, all of us together. My message is being fully prepared for the Antichrist. Being fully prepared for the Antichrist. I believe that Antichrist spirit is more and more prevalent. Is becoming more and more integrated in society. I know Paul said that spirit. He mentioned that spirit back already when he wrote, I think, this epistle here. What did he say here? Let no man deceive you. I was thinking he mentioned that spirit was already working. Yeah, for the mystery of iniquity has already worked. It was already working back then, but how much more today? And I believe it's pointing, everything is beginning to point to the Antichrist coming on the scene in the not so distant future. And I just want us to prepare ourselves. It's a burden on my heart that we are prepared as God's people in the persecution and the deception that comes along with that whole Antichrist system. 2 Timothy, and I, you know, 2 Timothy, I'd just like to read a few verses there. We see here in 2 Timothy, it says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, this know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. Now look, brothers and sisters, we're living in those days. I believe we're living in those days. Men shall be lovers of their own selves. I mean, the world is full of that. Through the technology that we see and all the hype in media and social networking, men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters. That whole movement that I just mentioned let me just flip this back here. That whole movement that I just mentioned is full of boasting and pride. Boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, we see that quite prevalent these days. People that are just throwing it all, rebelling, leaving home sometimes, young people, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. Despisers of those that are good. Traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. And look at the next verse. These men, this list of men, this list of sin, this list of sin and darkness and satanic activity, it says, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. These men have a form of godliness. These people that are involved in these kind of things have a form of godliness. But it's evident they deny the power thereof just by their very own lives. From such turn away. And I believe that persecution will most likely come through these. I believe these have a form of godliness. Satan, as I get into the message here further, we'll see how Satan works in lying wonders and signs, and he makes himself appear as God. And I believe he will use the so-called God's people to bring about persecution to those, brother, who contend for the faith, the true common faith of our Lord Jesus Christ and his written word. So may we be found, my heart's burned this morning, is that we may be found walking in truth and not be one of those who is deceived. There will be a great deception. The Bible says that Satan in the last time, he knows that his time is short, and he will try to deceive the very elect. It says, if it were possible that he might deceive the very elect, you and I, brother and sister, he will pour out such a delusion, such a deception, he will endeavor to snatch one of us, one of your children, one of this congregation away from the faith, away from the truth. So again, I'd like to share a message on being fully prepared for the Antichrist. This spirit will be very deceitful and very forceful and is already working in the world. And I'd like to share three important principles from God's Word that day may not come upon you unawares. That day may not come upon you unawares, my brother and sister. Let's turn to Revelation chapter 13. I'd like to start with this first point here and show us a very important point. Maybe I'll just take time to read the first 13 verses. I'm not sure, but it says here, chapter 13, verse 1, and I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea having seven horns, having seven heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. The beast which I saw was like unto the leper, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon came, and the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority. And I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast. And they worshipped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast. And they worshipped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? And there were given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in the earth, them that dwell in heaven. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. Every kindred, tongue, and people, nation is going to be touched by this Antichrist. And all they that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the Lamb, in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. If any man hear, let him hear. And I just like to share this first point for those of you who are resisting perhaps the Spirit of God in your life. Maybe you're here this morning, you know that you've not been born again. You know that God has been convicting you of sin. You know God has been convicting you that you're a sinner, that you're lost. But perhaps you've gotten wrapped up in the pleasures of this life, and you don't want to let go of them. Well, I'm here to warn you. In that day, you will worship the beast. You will worship that Antichrist. It says here, all they that dwell upon the earth shall worship him. Earth dwellers, those who have their affections upon the earth. Those who are not heavenly minded. It says, they that dwell upon the earth whose names are not written in the Lamb's in the book of life, they will worship him. All they. Let me read the verse again. All that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb from the foundation, slain from the foundation of the world. If any man hear, let him hear. I just want to tell you, my sinner friend, this morning, if you know that the Spirit of God, I'm not here to scare any of you who maybe the Spirit of God has not worked upon your heart yet, but I am here to tell you, if the Spirit of God has been working in your heart, you know that God has been convicting you of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. You know you've been resisting that conviction. You know in your heart you're resisting. You're holding the Spirit of God at arm's length. You're resisting coming to the saving knowledge of Christ. I'm here to warn you, in that day, if you are still at that place, you may think this morning, well, that day I'll suddenly turn to the Lord. I don't know if God in His mercy will allow that or not. But if in that day you're unconverted, they come, and the Antichrist comes on the scene, says, well, you will worship Him. You will. You'll be in such a place of deception that you will worship Him. You'll worship Him. Verse 10 through 18. I won't read the whole scripture here, but look at read down through there. He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He that killeth with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here's the patience and the faith of the saints. And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. And he exercises all the power of the first beast before him and causes the earth, and again, listen, and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of man, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth. Those earth dwellers, those who are dwelling on the earth, will be deceived in that day. And deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth, that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by a sword, and he did live. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, and the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And he causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand and in their foreheads. And that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. So to you who have not been born of the Spirit of God, a solemn warning is that there will be such a deception in that day that you will believe in that Antichrist. You will somehow believe that he's wrought of God, most likely, and that this power is of God, and be swept into that delusion that will overtake the entire world, into believing that this is some kind of miracle man sent from God to deliver this world that is fast going into chaos. And the world knows it. The world knows that there's not peace among the nations. And here this man will appear like he's from God, bringing peace, a one world government system, one money system, and all of that. The world will go after that Antichrist. And those whose names are not written in the Lamb's book of life will follow suit. clear. They will worship Him. They will receive the mark in that day. Okay, that was a warning to those who, to those of you who have not been born of the Spirit of God. What about us believers? What about all of us who have believed, have given our life to the Lord Jesus, whose names have been written in the Lamb's Book of Life? We've been cleansed, we've been washed of our sins, and we're children of God. Let's turn our Bibles to Matthew 16 on this one. Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16, I'd like to read verse 24 through 28. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. And he ends with, Verily I say unto you, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. Another place in Scripture says that whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath cannot be my disciple. I'd just like to talk to some of you, young people, if I may, on this point. I have another point coming, which is for us all. But I'd like to talk to you, young people. You know, we're living in a day when denial of self is not popular. It's not popular to deny self. It's popular to exalt self. With all the Facebook activity, that Facebook thing, I mean, if I can say, it can be used maybe for uses by missionaries at times, but our social networking market is full of self to the hilt. And men are becoming young people by the hordes are fast becoming lovers of self. Lovers of self, refusing to deny self, not taking up their cross, the cross of Christ, but being swept away. Many times through this social technology, they get in social media, they get in touch with others who are likewise filled with self, and evil communication begins to corrupt good manners. You might have one time been sold out to the cause of Christ. Telling you, I get so loath. Young people, please hear my heart. I love you all. But it just grieves my heart. When I see hairstyles and things that are this world. It's of the world. It's of the world to go after Justin Bieber's hairstyle. Come on. It's of the world. Those fashions and that fashionable styles of hair and clothes, name brands and such like things are of the world. Why go after those things? Why go after those things when you know that you have given your life to the Lord Jesus Christ? I mean, you've professed that He is the Lord of your life. You've given your life to His Lordship. You have another kingdom. You have another world. We're to be a peculiar people. A royal priesthood, a holy nation, a chosen generation, to show forth the praises of Him who has called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. Let us walk in the light, young people. I'm just sharing my heart with you. I know that in that day, if you don't learn to deny self now, in that day, will you be able to deny self? Will you be prepared? If they come and put a gun or sometime a weapon at your head and say, unless you take this mark, you will be obliterated. Will you be prepared? If that day comes, if you don't learn now to deny self, to take up your cross now, against the pressures of this life. Young people, you face peer pressure. I know. You face pressure from friends. They try to conform you into their mold. But if you don't learn to stand now, what's it going to be like in that day? And they put a gun, a weapon to your head. Say, unless you take that mark, you will be obliterated. I'm just sharing my heart. It's time we prepare now for the coming day, the flood of iniquity that is coming. Let's prepare, young people, all of us together. It's not a day to be living for self. One of my fellow ministers had a message recently, the party is over. You know, since then, a lot of, I don't know exactly why, but God is preparing us, I believe. A lot of prophetic messages have come forth in our congregation. Just feels like God is preparing. God is saying, warning. God is warning and saying, the party's over. America's party's over. Prepare for what lies ahead. Prepare for what lies ahead. Young people, the Bible says to flee youthful lusts. It means what it means. Flee is to... out of there. You're out of there. Flee is to, means what it says. Means to flee those youthful lusts. Not be partying with them. Not be giving a little finger hold to the world or to the enemy that wants to destroy yourself, your souls. You know, in Revelations 21, one of the things it mentions there is the fearful. We're to be overcomers as children of God. Look at verse 7. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful. If you're fearful now, if you're in a place of giving into the snare of fear, the fear of... how does it say in Proverbs about the fear of man being a snare? Yeah, the fear of man is a snare. If you're giving into peer pressure now out of fear of what others will say, out of fear of not being accepted, well, the Bible says a fearful. First abominable sin there. I mean, if I can call it that. We think of the list goes on down. It says the abominable, the murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. The first word there is the fearful. Fearful. The fearful and the unbelieving. The fearful. Those who are just constantly living under fear of what others think, what others have to say, and the fear of rejection. I mean, come on, young people. Jesus was a man of sorrow. He was a man rejected. A man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And I don't want to just harp on you young people. I know that we fathers have a lot to do with where our youth are at. I'm not pointing at anyone in particular this morning. Please don't get me wrong. I'm just giving a warning. This world is encroaching. Men, young people by the hordes are just falling away. Many are falling away and leaving the faith and flinging themselves out into the world. I can't fathom that in a dark day like this, how you would want to take the risk. Just can't fathom that. So overcome now, learn to overcome. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Learn what it means to contend, like our brother shared, to contend for the faith. Be one who earnestly contends. Another scripture here in 2 Thessalonians. Let's turn back to 2 Thessalonians where I started. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And this is a very real warning also to all of us. But I'd just like to again remind young people who are maybe tempted with youthful lusts. says here, and if you're, says here, and verse 8, and then shall that wicked be, and then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, again, look at it, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved, and for this cause God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie. That's a dangerous place to be in, where you actually are sent a strong delusion of God where you believe a lie. And what is a lie? Simply, I believe that the Antichrist is wrought of God. The Antichrist has something to do with God and his will for this earth. But you know what? You know why they were given to strong delusion? Because they love not the truth. And that's what's so important in our hearts and lives. I mean, I can go a long way towards someone who is loving the truth and is not where I'm at. As long as their heart is loving the truth, is going after the truth. And so, but if your heart, if you know truth, you know truth, your parents have given you truth, you know the truth about some of these things I've been sharing this morning, and you know the Spirit of God has convicted you of those things, but no, I'm just going to dabble with it a little bit. I'm going to dabble with this sin just a little, just a little. I'm going to give in. I'm going to give that sin a finger, my heart. That's where that's what becomes dangerous. Sin, the Bible says, we're to exhort one another daily lest any be deceived by the deceitfulness of sin. Sin is deceitful. Sin is deceitful. It'll take your finger. Once it has your finger, the next thing it has your hand. And after a while, your whole body, your whole spiritual life. But even if it's just that point where you begin, you're walking, you know, you're beginning to walk away from that revealed truth to your heart. That's where it becomes dangerous. If there's not a love and an embracing of the truth, and a love and an embracing of that truth that God has revealed to your heart and spirit, if there's not a love and an embracing of that, that's where it becomes dangerous. Men and women began to go down a path. Complete deception. And in that day, the danger, in that day, the Bible says they will be given over to delusion that they should believe a lie. For those who love not the truth. For those who love not the truth. So let's be those brothers and sisters who earnestly contend for the faith, who embrace truth in our hearts and lives as the Spirit of God brings it to us, that we are those who embrace. We're those who hold fast. Young people, Timothy was a young man. Paul told him, flee youthful lusts. Be thou an example of the believers in thy youth. That's what he said. Be thou an example of the believers in thy youth. In one place he told, let me see if I can get that quickly. Well, but he told Timothy to flee youthful lust, but follow after righteousness, charity, faith, follow after righteousness, charity, and faith out of a pure heart. And again, as your heart is pure before the Lord, there's nothing there in your heart that wants to go, is beginning to steer towards the world. As your heart is at a place before God of complete honesty and openness, you want to follow Him. With all of your heart, you want to be, there's a desire to be wholly pleasing unto Him. God will, you will be able to be one of those who follows after righteousness, charity, and faith out of a pure heart. Okay, let's go on. Let's turn our Bibles now to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. First John chapter 3, and I'm not going to read all of this necessarily, but I want to get into a point here. Let me read the first four. Let's turn to chapter 4, the first five verses, or maybe six verses there. It says, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are going out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in us, in you, than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God, and he that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error." This point this morning I'd like to bring out just simply, you know, these verses in chapter 4 there of John are sandwiched between John expounding on love in chapter 3 and likewise in chapter 4. After these verses, he's sharing with the brethren about the need to love your brother. And also, I believe it, John is saying this in regards to, like, verse 10 of chapter 3. It says, "In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil, whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother." So it's, I believe in that context, John is bringing out that, you know, if that is the Antichrist spirit that is coming or might be in people, it does not exemplify this kind of righteousness and love. And so what the point I'd like to make this morning is the area of that John so strongly talks about is love, is loving our brethren. The need to love each other. You know, in this verse it says that Christ, Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And I don't look at that verse as saying, you know, everyone that verbally confesses Jesus Christ, if Jesus Christ has come in the flesh, is of God, and those who don't, those who are not able to, are not of God. But rather, I believe it's saying that I believe that John is putting it in the context of righteousness and love. Those whose lives do not profess righteousness, those whose lives do not profess love. And Christ came in the flesh. He came in the flesh and he gave his life in love for our redemption and our souls. And that's the context I see John bringing out here is simply, if there is not love of the brethren, that is the Antichrist spirit that I believe he's bringing out here. The necessity to love each other within the body. We might have that spirit of Christ, we might have that spirit of love emanating from our lives, even as Christ did, in giving his life for the redemption of humanity, and coming in the flesh to this world. What does the Bible say? What does it say in Corinthians? It says, though he was rich, he became poor for our sakes that we might be made rich. And we see the example in Philippians where it brings out that Christ, he was made of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of man. So we see that Christ very clearly demonstrated this kind of love that I'd like to speak about this morning. You know, an interesting thing, and it's only in John's gospel. I don't know. It seems like John had a special it seems like John especially understood love. And I know that he was a disciple that was closest to Christ. And it seems like him and the Lord had a special friendship. But two times there's no other place in Scripture that I know of where it brings out that God is love. Two times in this chapter, four here, it says that God is love. That's the essence of His character. That's the essence of His nature, is love. It's love. And that, and may we see that God wants to work out that love in our hearts towards each other. As brothers, as sisters in Christ. He wants to love that, He wants to demonstrate that love. Yea, that even the world in this dark day may see that we are His disciples. Let's turn our Bibles to Galatians 5. Galatians chapter 5. I'd just like to show us the need. Sometimes I think we look at this scripture as pertaining to the lusts of the flesh, as those things, you know, he does mention in that scripture, adultery. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness. But there's a catalog of other sins there also that is very clearly brought out. And I'd like to elaborate on some of those this morning. On this point here that I'm bringing out, let's start reading in verse 11, chapter 5, Galatians. And I, brethren, if I yet preach circumcision, why do I yet suffer persecution? Then is the offense of the cross ceased. I would they were even cut off, which trouble you. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are the contrary, the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led by the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. I guess my heart this morning is again that we just take a warning in this area of the Antichrist spirit, that he desires, I believe the Antichrist spirit desires in ways that are very deceptive and things that are more subtle to get into our own very own midst, to get into our own very own congregations. We know that things of the world, such as adultery and fornication and drunkenness, we want nothing to do with those things. But there's a catalog of other sins here that I just like to bring out this morning, the need to walk in love with one another. And we don't give into that Antichrist spirit that I believe John was bringing out there, saying this is a spirit of Antichrist. When there is biting and devouring and bickering and contention and all kinds of such like things, but that by love we serve one another. And please, brother and sister, I'm not saying we shouldn't speak into each other's lives, and that reproof and correction and exhortation. I mean, Paul told Timothy, reprove and rebuke and exhort with all authority. Let no man despise thee. I'm not saying there's not a place for that in the church. But all that I'm saying is that we are in the Spirit of Christ. We are walking in the Spirit of Christ as we collaborate and communicate and share hearts with one another. And we're in the Spirit of Christ. It says, walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. And this is the context. Brother and sister, this is in the context of biting and devouring one another. It's not in the, Paul was not writing these things in the context of other lusts, such as I just mentioned. It's in the context of biting and devouring one another that he says, walk in the Spirit. and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. So my dear brother and sister, let's be in this age, this time that we're living in. The Bible says, Hebrews, it says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves, but so much the more as we see the day approaching. And it's in the context, again, of exhorting one another, being together in love and harmony. So much the more as you see the day approaching, we need each other. We're going to need each other. Let's value each other. Let's value our brother and sister and give them the right hand of fellowship. Not allow things, little things, petty please understand me. I'm for sound doctrine. But let's not allow little petty things to get between us, to where we're bickering and biting over things that have no value hardly. You know, I think of let me go down through the meaning of some of these words. It says here in, only by pride comes contention. If there are contentions, you can mark it down. There's pride somewhere. There's pride somewhere. If there's contention in the midst of a brotherhood, there is pride. Somewhere there's a lurking pride underneath that thing. Now, if I can find my notes here where I wrote down the meaning of a few of these words, here it is. You know, I just wanted to bring out some of the meanings here. The word variance, it says here the word idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance. The word variance means a quarrel, wrangling, contention, debate, strife. The word emulations is even more pertinent or more just struck me this morning when I read that in the Strong's Concordance. The word emulations means to be hot, to be fervid, zeal, ardor. It's ardor and zeal over a thing that is wrong. And it brought in the word jealousy. It mentioned about a husband and a wife. And I thought of this, you know, in the Old Testament, they had these polygamous marriages where they had more than one wife. And I can just imagine, you know, those wives, and we see that, Jacob's wives, sometimes they quarreled over their husband. You know, and neither was really right. I mean, this was both their husbands. In the Old Testament, we all know that there was some allowance given in the Old Testament for those kind of marriages by God. Whether he winked at them, I don't know at all, but men like Jacob and David, they were godly men, even though they had more than one wife. But what I see there is you know, both the wives at times, they wanted to maybe be with the husband that night, or they had certain things they quarreled over with their husband. And neither was really right. That's the kind of thing I'm talking about, emulations, where there's a quarrel over something that where neither is really right. It's not a right or wrong thing necessarily. Something that we can, you know, something that, is at that place where there's quarrels and there's fervid heat. It says to be hot, fervid, zeal, ardor. I mean, we know in churches this happens, where people are zealous, fervid, and they think they're taking a stand sometimes for maybe contending for the faith. And I'm for sound doctrine, but I'm just saying there's things that God would not have us to be in contention about, by no means. But that there's a love as we serve one another and as we share together. That our congregations can be kept at a place of unity. Remember what Psalms 133 says? Where there's unity, there is, let me just turn there. Psalms 133, where there's unity, there is life forevermore, something like that. Psalms 133. Yeah, Yeah, behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It's like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard that went down to the skirts of his garments. As the dew of Hermon, as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. And I know that we have, you know, in our movement, we've seen things that, where there's been disunity, disharmony. And that's why I'm just warning us, Satan would love to get that kind of spirit into your midst, into our hearts, where you're biting and devouring one another and consumed of one another. So just beware of that spirit. John, I believe, calls it the spirit of Antichrist. It's sandwiched in between those verses of love in chapter 3 and chapter 4 and going on into chapter 5. I'd love to go through them all, but for sake of time, we won't. But anyway, the word seditions. The word seditions means disunion, dissension, division. You know, be careful if you're one of those who involves yourself in causing dissension. The Bible calls one of the seven sins is to sow discord among brethren. Very serious sin. If there's someone in your midst who is beginning to get on the outskirts of the brotherhood, we know who those are often. You know, you can kind of sense it. They're just not plugged in. And they begin to get critical, shoot at what is happening in the brotherhood and decisions that are being made, and they try to bring others along on their side. Try to bring others along into that whole spirit. Beware, lest you find yourself sowing discord. Very clearly, Proverbs brings out it is an abominable sin. It's an abomination to the Lord. And I believe the spirit of Antichrist. All that I'm saying, brothers, sisters, is there's other ways to walk in the flesh. I shared my heart with the young people here this morning. But there's other ways that apply maybe to us adults in a bit more pertinent way, where we find ourselves, maybe in our own homes, walking in the flesh. How is your spirit? How is it in your home? In dealing with your children? Walking through things? We have things we all have to work through in our churches, in our families. With children who may be sometimes a bit more willful, or youth in our midst who maybe have certain areas of tendency. You know, do we come down with a boom? The hammer or an axe and just cut and divide, and the pieces fly? Or do we minister? Do we nurture and admonish? The word admonish means, I didn't look it up this morning, but I looked it up one time. It means gentle persuasion or something like that. Does anyone have that meaning offhand? But anyway, it means to bring along. It has the idea of bringing along through admonition, bringing a person along. And again, I know there's times when finally, if someone is not able to be brought along, there, you know, things have to be dealt with in a different way perhaps. But that we have a heart, of love for our children, for our young people, for each other as we work through needs and areas of flat spots and blind spots and areas of besetting sin. I mean, it says there, in Hebrews, you know, laying aside every weight and the sin that does so easily beset us. And some of us, you know, I believe our hearts are pure, but sometimes we find ourselves falling into that same sin, if you may. You know, just, at least for me, I had a struggle getting out of my issue of fear that I had in my life. And it was a struggle for me, and I felt myself falling. And like I shared with yesterday, you know, God was so gentle with me. And my area was fear. I'll just be honest with you. I just had a real struggle getting through fear in my life. And so let's be patient. You know, Christ works with us gently, patiently. And sometimes in our endeavor to lay aside a besetting sin or a weight, it's not always easy. And it's sometimes a process. In love, serve one another, brethren. In love. Showing forth the Spirit of Christ in your relationships and your communications with one another within the body of Christ. It's a solemn warning there in Galatians. You know, if you bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. We need to strive against that spirit of Antichrist. That spirit that wants to sneak its way into our churches and divide and devour. Let us rather be those who exhort each other, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Okay, in closing, can we turn one more time to a scripture in 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4. My heart is that we arm ourselves. Closing here, that we arm ourselves for what lies ahead. Here Peter says, for as much then as, verse 1 of chapter 4, for as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lusts of men, but to the will of God. Brother, sister, embrace persecution. Embrace suffering. Young people, if you're in a place where you're rejected or you experience some peers who no longer accept you because of the things you stand for, embrace it. Embrace that suffering. Arm yourselves likewise. Arm yourself. Let us arm ourselves, brothers and sisters, to suffer for Christ's sake. Being those who deny themselves now, that in that day when they come with weapons and things of that nature and try to obliterate our physical bodies, that we are at a place of steadfastness. We're at a place our spiritual muscles are strong with resistance to denying self and taking up our cross. It's a joy here. You know, we should embrace suffering. It says that he no longer should live in the rest of his time in the flesh to the lusts of men. You know, we can rejoice in suffering. That suffering does its work in our hearts. That we don't have to be dominated by the lusts of men. And I think it's even maybe stronger than just giving in, but that we're not constantly tempted with those things. We're at a place of willingness to suffer all things for Christ's sake. So let us arm ourselves, young people, all of us together, let us arm ourselves. Deny ourselves now. Prepare ourselves for the coming Antichrist system. Preparing ourselves now and being willing to take up our cross, deny ourselves, and follow Jesus all the way. Follow Him completely. Following the shepherd, He brings His sheep out of the sheepfold and He takes them to places, various places, I believe. It says He brings them out, you know, and takes them into green pastures and takes them into His purposes for our lives. Anyway, I'd like to cap the points that are already shared in Hebrews. Just bringing out to those of you who have not been born again, those of you who do not know the Lord, or those of you who even do but have begun to sell yourself maybe to the pleasures of sin. And Brother Amos touched on these scriptures. In verse 24 of chapter 11 of Hebrews, by faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Those of you, maybe young people, Moses was a young person at this time, He refused to be identified with Pharaoh's daughter, with this world system. He refused to be identified, I believe, with the world that was there in Egypt, so much so he refused to be identified with the name. the name of the very daughter who raised him, which was Pharaoh's daughter. But it says choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. And that's where choice comes in, young people, or those who have not given themselves over to being believers. It's a matter of choice. Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Are you at that place in the valley of decision? You think to yourself, well, I'll give myself some time. I'll sell out completely someday. Yeah, God may have mercy on you, and I thank God for that if that would be the case. But God wants you to make that choice, even today. Harden not your heart while it is called today. Take a step across that line. Moses made a choice. Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. It says, esteeming the reproach of Christ, greater riches. There is a reproach to Christianity, brother, sister. There's a reproach. You will suffer reproach. Granted, that's a part of the game. I mean, that's the name of the game, is suffering reproach, esteeming the reproach of Christ, greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. For he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt. He forsook the world. Not fearing the wrath of the king. Not fearing Satan and all his temptations that he was throwing, that is thrown one's way when he endeavors to leave the world. Not fearing the wrath of the king. For he endured as seeing him who is invisible. So again, let's remember that flirting with the world and its lusts, the Bible is clear to flee youthful lusts, to take up our cross and follow him and make that clear choice, young people. That's my encouragement, is make a clear decision and choice. I'm done, completely done with any smell of the world upon my life. And for those who may be at a place of contention, is there a willingness to repent of that kind of spirit? Maybe you know that your heart has been contentious in this very brotherhood right here. You know that you have had a contentious spirit. Are you willing to repent of this kind of heart and attitude and go in suffering love to your Christian brother and sister? Love suffers long, is kind. Love forbears. Go in tears. Go in prayer. So let's amply prepare ourselves now for the storm that is coming. If we suffer, we shall reign with him. If we suffer, we shall reign with him. All the godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Shall. All the godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. So I believe if we deny the flesh now of its lusts, that day when they put a weapon to your head for refusing to take the mark, you will be amply prepared. Prepare now. Exercise your spiritual muscles in denying now. They may be strong in that day. My heart and desire is that every one of you would find yourself in that case, in that day. And not one of you would be given over to a delusion and the whole Antichrist system and find yourself in the wrong side, in the wrong side of eternity. God bless you. Amen. I share this message with much love in my heart, but also with a solemn warning that we prepare. God bless.